Most people don't actually want to see change in their lives. They want other people to listen to them long enough so that they can be affirmed to continue their foolishness and to confirm that it's okay to victimize yourself. And when presented with the opportunity to change, they cling to their excuses. I was recently having a conversation online about how you can't let people drive you crazy and you should not crash out. You should give people the benefit of the doubt and learn to see perspectives. And this is not at all, if you listen, and I think this is also why I remember Brandy, your favorite Brandy, she does hair content. She said that social media should be separated into tiers of levels of literacy. And sometimes I think that as I'm engaging with people, because I realize that we're not willing to look at the entire conversation. So a lot of the responses that I get when I say things like that is, well, I've seen both sides, and people know what they're doing, and so I have a right to crash out. All of which may be true, but what does crashing out do for you? What does it do for you except make you look crazy? Like, what does that do for you? And it gives other people control over you continually. And this is why I say people don't realize that they cling to their victimhood and they're the reason that they never change. Because if you are willing to forego your self-improvement and to allow yourself to be controlled by other people emotionally because you crash out every time they do something that you don't like, instead of learning to regulate your emotions, you're giving people the keys to drive you crazy. It's also important to note that this is not you saying that people are not provoking you. It's not even saying that you're not justified in feeling however you feel. And the problem that I have when we have these conversations is that people are not able to open their minds up enough to understand what is being said. They just want to cling to the thing that is comfortable. They just want to object to everything that you say that makes them feel uneasy. They just want to jump in with their interjections. They're not willing to listen. Because here's the thing, even in the people saying what they're saying, it's not that I even disagree with them. It's not that I don't think there's never an appropriate time to crash out or to be angry or to feel whatever it is that you feel. But we're adults. We have to act like adults. We cannot be running around like children who can't control their emotions, having temper tantrums, cussing people out. Like, that's just not appropriate. And at some point, we have to say, people might provoke me, people might upset me, but I still have the ability to control myself. And that is ultimately what it is that we need to work on. So when we have these conversations, it's really a struggle sometimes. And I've gone to the point where I just stopped responding to certain things because I also only want to conduct conversations with people who are willing to think before they speak. So I'm well past the point of also understanding when somebody comments before they listen. Maybe they just commented based on the on-screen text, or they commented based on like the first 5 seconds of what they heard. And I'm really growing more intolerable of that, because I feel as though you can't be a part of a discussion if you're not willing to first listen and hear things out. And so what do we do with this information? How does this help us? The reason that I'm even talking about this, and I did not coin the phrase giving people the keys to drive you crazy. It actually came from a book that I'm currently reading, and I was sharing the perspectives based on that book because, quite frankly, I just agree with a lot of what the author has to say. It was a book that was recommended to me, but I do live my life in a way where I will not allow people to drive me crazy. I will not allow myself to be stressed out. Especially being a person who used to be on the other side of crashing out. I used to be a person who would yell and scream and feel like I was losing control. But at some point you realize that none of those things help you to regain control. They just give you a false perception of control. They give you a false idea of feeling like things are under wraps and you're the dictator around here. But it really doesn't do much for the situation, because you losing your cool actually shows how out of control you are, and you continuing to justify why it's okay for you to lose your cool, it doesn't empower you in the way that you think it does. Because what people do is they'll say like, oh, well, this person did this, this, and this, and that's why I did that. It could be valid. Yes, we are going to have feelings based on what people do, but you give away all of your power when you allow people to take you out of character. And when I learned that, my entire life changed. You don't have to react to everything. You can see things, you can acknowledge that you have seen things, and you can move on with your life. And to the argument that people know what they're doing, if people know what they're doing, why do you have to tell them what they're doing? If somebody knows that they're doing something wrong, if they're intentionally doing something wrong, do you know how crazy you look telling them what they did and why you're so upset about it? We have to learn how to stop taking the bait, because there really are people. I'm not going to sit here and say that when you try to see it from other people's perspective, everybody is being so innocent, because that's not always the case. Some people are doing things on purpose to get under your skin. Imagine you take the bait and give them what they want. That's foolish. And this seems so small. And the reason I say you will not change your life or grow in the way that you want to grow, especially as a woman, when you take the bait all the time, is because you're stuck in cycles of allowing other people to control you. And you're always going to be able to be pulled out of character when one little thing goes wrong. And as you grow, as you improve, you're going to realize that, oh, I have something to lose. I need to control myself. And I'm not just saying this as a content creator. Like, obviously, I don't have the liberty to, well, I have the liberty. I have free will just like everyone else. But I don't have the liberty to clap back or go back and forth with people, especially just random people online, like username 57910. I'm not going to go back and forth with somebody who has nothing to lose. I am building something. I am helping people. And I don't have time to be dragged down by people who refuse to be intelligent. Because it is a choice. We like to pretend like intelligence is for a chosen set of people. You can choose to stop being illiterate. It's a set of steps that you can take, but most people don't want to. And that's not really what I want to focus on. I want to focus on the fact that you can continue to stay in the same spot if you don't learn how to regulate your emotions, and if you don't learn how to stop reacting to everything, if you don't learn how to say, I have control over myself and no one else, and it is better for me to give people the benefit of the doubt than it is to crash out. And I know people in real life who do this. I have one of my people in my life that I quietly look up to. My dad knows how much I love him, but my dad is one of these people. My dad is not at all the man in his late adulthood or midlife that he was when he was younger. Even when I remember growing up with my dad, like there's certain characteristics and traits that have always stayed with him. He's always been a great dad. He's always been active in my life, always been a great provider, a caretaker, goes out of the way to make sure that his children are good, always been the man when it comes to that. But what I mean is he's also changed his environment significantly. He's changed his surroundings. He's very selective about his friends and his professional relationships. But he's also not the person to freak out about things in public. I haven't seen my dad angry in a really long time. And I think that that is interesting because I know he gets angry and I know he has his frustrations. And I've seen him irritated, right? Because he is easily irritated with foolishness. But in his being easily irritated, he doesn't blow a fuse. And I've always loved that about my dad. Whereas I know other people in my life who don't have that regulation. And they don't have that regulation, and they're also still in the same space that they've been in for years, right? And when I say this, I mean, my dad is successful in the eyes of the world too, so that also matters. But when I think about my dad's success, it's not just in the way of the world. It's not just, oh, he has this money, or he lives over here, or he drives this car, and this is what he's doing, and he's building this thing. I look at his success as not only what he's accomplished, but how he is as an individual, his personhood, how he shows up as a father, how he shows up as a husband, the way that he is able to extend himself, the way that he is able to carry himself and not show the heaviness of that thing. And I know that part of the reason he's been able to go as far as he has in his life, despite whatever's working against him, despite all the things that have happened, like in the past few years, even, or even things that I don't necessarily know about, I know that it's because he doesn't let the small stuff bother him. And so at the heart of this conversation of giving people the benefit of the doubt is reminding you to not let the small stuff get to you. Why are you freaking out in traffic and getting road rage because somebody cut you off? It's not going to matter next week. And I'm not saying it's not wrong. In me calling you out for these behaviors, I'm not saying that the other person is not wrong. Why are you allowing yourself to get worked up with that coworker who gets on your nerves every single day at work? She does it every day. Why are you allowing yourself to get worked up by something that you know is coming? Build a set of things that you can do to prepare yourself to deal with her foolishness until it's time for you to get out of that job or until it's time for her to go. But to let that be something that disturbs you to the point every day that you're distracted by it, you're complaining by it, you're arguing with her, you're just taking your energy and using it for something useless. And the thing that I've had to realize is people who are stuck in their situations, people who are impoverished and have always been, or people who are in less than desirable circumstances that they know they want to change, but they haven't yet, it all comes down to this intention. It all comes down to, are you allowing other things to suck you dry of your energy? Because you only have so much. And so imagine allowing yourself to put all of your focus on things that don't matter. And now that you're putting all of your focus there, that's where all of your energy is going. Do you have the capacity to focus on what matters? No, you don't. And when I say this applies to just anything, if you continue to allow things to take your time, to take your energy, to make you feel out of place, to make you feel uncomfortable, to get you off path talking about it, especially when it's things that are beyond your control, and everything that is outside of yourself and the things that you own and actually have control over is indeed beyond your control. So talking about what this other person did and how they offended you, beyond your control, because you can't make them stop if they don't want to. The only thing you can do is regulate access. Something that I've learned, and this is something that people continue to deny as well, because I say you can't control other people. People agree with that. You can't control other people, but they still try to. They still try to make people be accountable. They still try to make people apologize. They still try to make people see you cannot. And even if someone apologizes or says that they're going to be accountable, there's no way for you to regulate whether or not they actually do it. So instead, you should allow people to do whatever it is that they're going to do, and instead make a choice to be like, you know what? I need to regulate how much time I give them. I need to regulate how much access they have to my life, because I'm realizing that this person does not have the ability to meet the standard that I'm setting. And I uphold the standard, so they don't have to be here in this way. And this is, again, where the intellect has to come into place, because a lot of people think that it's one extreme or the other. Oh, well, if I feel that way, I got to cut them off completely. No, you don't. Because how are you going to cut off somebody you work with? You can't. But you also don't have to entertain them unless there's a group project that y'all have to work on. And outside of that, you can continue to be cordial. You don't have to talk to that person. You don't have to deal with that person. You can be silent when they're speaking and say nothing. And this is something that I was thinking about. There's this guy, I really like his content because it's very straightforward. It's offensive sometimes to people. It's very polarizing. But he talked about this this concept that it's expensive for him to give you a response. And I started thinking about that. And I say, you know, I should apply that to my life, because especially as a content creator, where if I post something, people can say whatever it is they want in the comments and I can never stop them. I can't stop you from thinking, saying, feeling how you feel. The only thing that I can do is delete your comment, block your comment, or not respond to your comment. And I started doing that, and it feels great. Because in the moment, you see something, and it's like, they know that's not what I'm talking about. Why would they say something like that? Like, why would I be talking about that? Why didn't they think before they said that? But as soon as I think that, I know this is not a person that I can go back and forth with, because this is not a person that has the same level of understanding of this conversation. And quite frankly, I don't think it's my job to bring them up to speed. However, there are a lot of people who feel the need to push their point, explain why they're right, call them a bigot, call them stupid, call them out on everything else that they missed, tell them how they feel. And I used to go out of my way to try to make people understand things. I used to go out of my way to explain things, to make sure that I was being clear. And I realized I'm losing the essence of my conversation. I realized that I'm draining myself. Because it's very rare that you go out of your way and over-explain yourself like that. And they're like, oh, now I get it. I would say 1 out of 10 times, if that, when you go back and explain something, the person says, oh, I see what you mean. Thank you for clarifying. Most of the time, they're trying to be anti. Most of the time, they're trying to be triggering. They're trying to get under your skin. And as I said, this is really dangerous for a person who has something to lose. And this is not just applying to content. This is in life. Think about your reputation. Think about how responding to certain things poorly can impact your livelihood. Think about the number of people who want you to react just so they can say, oh, look what she did. So you have to learn how to call a spade a spade, realize what you can control, and stop worrying about the rest. giving people the benefit of the doubt is not even for them. It's the same way that I say you should forgive people and you should give people grace. It's not for them. It's for your sanity. Because when you don't forgive people, you're holding on to that bitterness. You're holding on to all the anger. You're holding on to all the hurt. And then you are the one that's impacted. Meanwhile, they're out there living their life, probably offending the next person. And you're here holding on to all of these things, making yourself sick. Because unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, anger, it will make you sick. It will, just as much as that processed food that people eat. This is why you can find people who are perfectly healthy and eat well and take care of themselves, but they're stressed out. That's why they had a heart attack. So as much as we assume that you're just doing too much and you're giving people too much grace, you're giving people too much assistance, you're letting people get over on you, it has nothing to do with them and it has everything to do with you allowing yourself to roll those things off, to not get distracted, to not be weighed down by those things. Because when I'm managing what other people are thinking, what they're going to do to me, how they're going to take advantage of me, I'm going to cause myself to have anxiety because now I have to worry about the anticipated outcomes. But if I can say, I really don't care, I assume that people are not trying to do me any harm, that means that I can't be offended at any point. That means that no matter what you do, okay. And people are so caught up on, yeah, but sometimes you can't just, and you can't, again, you're worried about stuff that you can't control. And that's why you're going to forever be distracted. That's why you're going to stay in the same place for 5 years. And this is not about monetary success and gain and all of these things. This is about improving your life overall. If you don't learn how to forgive, if you don't learn how to give grace, if you don't learn how to just control what you can control and leave everything else where it is, you're going to stay stuck because you're always going to be focusing on things that you have no control over. Meanwhile, while you're focusing on those things, the things that you do have control over, you're not even addressing them because you're distracted. And most people, I think they know that. I don't think I have to tell them that. I think people know that and they cling to all of these other things that do not matter. So they have a solid excuse when it's time for them to account for why they didn't do something. Why they didn't keep their promises to themselves. So it's kind of like people enjoy the cycle of being a loser and making these excuses for themselves. And I just have no part in that. And I hope that if you listen to this, you realize if you're doing it, it's time for me to stop. It's time for me to stop. So if you're a woman and you're in a relationship with a man and you're just like, he's always doing this and he's always doing that, at what point do you respect, honor, and love yourself enough to say, you know what? I need to raise my standards and I need to get him out of here because I'm not going to make him change. Right? At what point do you say about the lady at work that's always starting mess, I'm going to walk the other way. I'm going to start packing my lunch and I'm going to go eat it in my car. That's how much I don't want to see this lady. But she's not going to stop me. She's not going to bother me on this job where I come here to make a living. I don't think so. If you're a content creator, block the people, delete the comments, and move on with your life. You don't have to address everything. And I know this seems like such a small thing. It's not that big of a deal. This is just, you know, we like to say it's mumbo jumbo, like this stuff doesn't make sense and it doesn't really have any real impact, but it does because it changes the way that you think about everything. And when you stop trying to control everything around you, I promise you, your mind, it just shifts in a way where God can direct you to wherever he needs to direct you and you're not going to talk back to him. You're going to be obedient. You're not going to say, God, but what about this? Your faith is going to be stronger because your mind is not distracted about all this other stuff that doesn't make sense. And when you finally learn how to do that, imagine all of the energy that you normally waste on stuff that is beyond your control and how you can redirect that. Like I said today, I get so much done in my life now. Something I did recently, I turned my phone off again, but I didn't turn it off completely. I removed access to the internet. So I still have my two smartphones for my work, but I have a whole different non-smartphone. So if you want to call or text me, you can, but you're not about to distract me with all these links. You're not about to distract me with no FaceTime calls unwarranted. And when I'm out in the world, I'm out in the world. I work when I get home. And so now that I can only work when I'm at home, I treat my work like it's valuable. I focus on what I'm supposed to focus on. I get things done. I was just saying today in a vlog that I did, I do a weekly vlog on how I'm growing my social media and like my business. And so every week I take the audience that I'm building on that side of things on this journey with me. And I was saying today in particular, I was like, man, I'm really sleepy, but I have this momentum. So I chose to go with the momentum over the sleep. And I could have sat there and stressed myself out about how I didn't sleep that much last night. And I'm so tired and I want to do this. but then I would be wasting valuable energy. I did so much today. I packed orders. I shipped the orders out. I ended up going to the library to get something done. I put the baby down for a nap. And then once I put him down for a nap, I finished editing a video. I restructured the way that I wanted my next set of videos to go out. I'm recording this podcast and I'm going to place it up for scheduling by the end of this week. I did a blog post. Like, I did so much today. I sent emails. I have all of my emails that I'm sending out to my community have been scheduled for the week already. All because I chose to go with that momentum and not focus on how tired I am, how I wish I had gotten more sleep, how I shouldn't have been the one that had to get up and go bring the kids to school. Like, just stuff that doesn't matter, stuff that's beyond my control. I can only control myself. I can only control my energy output. And that is what we need to learn how to focus on. And I promise you, your life will get better when you do that. We actually spend a pretty good amount of time talking about self-control and anger in the Womanhood series. And this is why, because a lot of the questions that I get are so focused on relationships that I know people are not, they're missing it. You have relationship problems because you have a relationship problem with yourself. You have money problems because you don't respect yourself enough to take better care or to be a better steward over your finances. You have issues in your friendships for the same reason. You don't love yourself enough to say, I deserve good friends. These messy people, these people that's always gossiping about people, these people that make me feel bad about myself, these people that make me feel weird for wanting more in life, they don't need to be around me. But you don't get them out of your life, even though that's the thing that you can control. Because you say, oh, well, they're going to do this and you're going to think this. Who cares? You can't control what they're going to do and what they're going to think, but you can control who has access to you. And so I don't like to be hard on people. I don't like to be harsh. But sometimes I tell y'all, we have to rip the Band-Aid off and we have to call a spade a spade. And when you learn how to exercise control over the things that you can actually control, your life will get better. And as I said, that's why we talk about that specifically in the Womanhood series. There's other things that we cover, but we spend a good bit of time on self-control and anger. Because part of the essence of femininity and part of your experience as a woman and making your life better revolves so heavily around those things. Now, this is a 5-day journey that we're on. So I say, like, we spend an entire day talking about that. I mean, one of our class sessions, it's not the entirety of the day, like 8 hours. We usually run the class from about 1 to 2 hours, depending on how many questions there are and what the flow is looking like. But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. I know the ladies enjoy it. They're pretty engaged. I always have pretty close to 100% attendance the whole time. That's how fun and engaging the class is. That's how enlightening it is. That's how life-changing it is for the ladies. So if you are struggling in your womanhood, if you're struggling with sabotaging yourself and you really struggle with some of these things that I talk about and you want to be mentored by me, that's the best way to do it. I highly recommend that you join. I am going to leave the information for the Womanhood series under this podcast episode, whichever platform you're listening to it from, and I will see you in the next episode.